A lot of folks in need of prayer. I'm thankful this morning we came to the house of prayer. Not only the house of prayer, but who we pray to, this is the house of the Lord. God that can answer prayer and has answered prayer. I tell you what, He's answered. We can look forward that we need prayers. But I tell you, I'm thankful I've had some prayers answered. My little sister Lindsay, I got a new little niece. I tell you what, they scared me a little bit last week. That was taking a little too long for my taste. And when I didn't hear from them, I thought for sure that I've been there. I know things can go wrong. We never want to take for granted when we have a little child born. Every child's a blessing. And we should never take that for granted. It's a blessing of God. It's a miracle of God. If you've ever been in that situation, you know that it doesn't always go the way you plan it. And didn't quite go the way Brother Doug and Sister Lindsay would have wanted yesterday, but the end result was God was with them, and I've got a brand new little niece. We're thankful for those answered prayers, and we are thankful that we serve a God that knows our prayers and can answer our prayers, and we'll continue as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for one another. That's the only one we're going to make it through this life. We need to be praying for. That's one of the greatest weapons we have as a child of God, is to pray. We certainly will keep those folks that have been mentioned here in our prayers, and pray that you do too. I tell you, I'm thankful to be back with you again this weekend. I went and was with the brothers and sisters at the church at Lexi last weekend, and I appreciate Brother Hunter's prayer about liberty this morning. And if you've stood behind this pulpit and you've had liberty, and then when you've not had liberty, I tell you what, you learn real fast that is a prayer that needs to be prayed when a preacher stands behind this pulpit, because it's, if you plan that we're depending on me, it's not always guaranteed. I can tell you that. And I tell you what, I look forward to getting back behind the pulpit this weekend, because I did not feel like I had liberty last weekend. And seemed like Satan had buffeted me a little bit last week. But nevertheless, we'll press on. And you pray for me while I stand before you today. This week, while I was going to work one day, I was listening to a podcast, and it's Phil Robertson. I don't know if y'all know those guys from Duck Dynasty, but they have a podcast where they talk about hunting, and mostly it's a Bible study. They talk about hunting and the Bible. That's two of my favorite things. One of them not so much as the other one, but they were talking about the times they had in service of the Lord, and the weekend before that they had, and how many people that they had got born again by the gospel that they preached that weekend. You know, that's not a truthful doctrine. That's a false doctrine. The gospel does not born again. The gospel does not regenerate. The gospel does a lot of things for God's children and to those that believe, but it's just for those that believe. As I thought about these things, you know, I said, with just a little bit, and they used some verses to back it up. And if you take those verses out of context, I could see how you would get there. But, you know, I find that when I don't understand a verse, that if I remember the verses that are easily understandable, then it helps me to understand those. And if you'll put some of those verses that are easily stated, easily understanded in your memory and in your mind when you're reading this Bible, it'll help you understand the harder verses. Now, I know the reason why I know that the gospel does not regenerate is because in 2 Timothy, it says that it brings life and immortality to light to light. It doesn't give life and immortality, but it brings it to light. I know also from this Bible that being born again is something only God could do. When he talked to Nicodemus, he said, now it's necessary, it's important, you have to be born again. Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus to see the kingdom of heaven, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit and of water. But that's only the baptism that Lord Jesus Christ can give. When he talked to the rich young ruler over in Mark chapter 10, verse 23 and verse 24, the rich young ruler wanted to know, Master, good master, how can I inherit? How can I have eternal life? And the Lord Jesus Christ went through all those things that the law required of them. And he said, yea, I've done all those things. But then my good master, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Yet you lack one thing. Go sell all your goods and come follow me." And it says the rich young ruler went away sorrowful. See, he let the things of this world get in the way of following Jesus. And then he turned to his disciples and said, "So how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" And his apostles said, "Well, then who can be saved?" When the Lord Jesus Christ said, it said, "For man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." To be born again, to be saved eternally, I want you to know that's a work of God. It is impossible for us to save ourselves. It's impossible for us to be born again of ourselves. It's all of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you this. I know that. I know it's all of God. Someone tells me that it's necessary for the preacher to get here and preach me the gospel in order for me to be born again. I know that's a lie. I know from John chapter 1 that that's not true. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, in verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." So everything was made by him. It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, if you stopped right there, you could assume that God has given us the power to save ourselves. You could say that God has given us a power to become the sons of God, that if we believe on his name, that we have that power to become the sons of God. But he doesn't stop there. It says in verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And then he tells you how we become the sons of God. It says, "Which were born not of blood," not of blood, not of flesh. And you take into consideration that he's talking to Jews here. See, those Jews had a lot of dependency on their bloodline. Because they were Jews, they thought they were the children of God. They thought that was their entrance into heaven. But it's not by blood, my Father's precious children, nor of the will of the flesh. You're not going to make up your mind one day that you're going to be a child of God. It's not the will of you. It's not the will of this old flesh. This Bible tells me that the flesh of man is enmity to God. Nor of the will of man. It's not of your will. But what is it of? But of God. If you're a child of God this morning, if you feel to be a child of God, I want you to know it's because God made you a child of God. It's not because you decided it. It's not by your will. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by the will of me. It's not by the will of the preacher up here preaching the gospel. I tell you what, I could stand up here and preach all day long to the dead alien sinner, and I would never make him alive in Christ Jesus. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And it's simply stated there. It says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's all of God. You know, it states that principle very simply in a lot of places. This is my favorite place that really explains that. If you turn to Galatians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." When the time was come, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." If you were born of the Spirit, I want you to know he sent it into your hearts. We have a cause and effect here. You know, the effect can't be the cause, and the cause can't be the effect. It says, "And because ye are sons," because ye are sons, because you were sons, because you were children of God already, what did he say? He said, "Because ye are sons, God has sent who?" God. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. How did the Spirit get into your heart? Because you decided it was going to be there? No, sir. God put it there. God put it there. If you got faith this morning, if you got the love for your brethren, and I want you to know God has pricked your heart. God has dwelled in with your spirit. And that's how we can cry, "Abba, Father." It's all of God. The gospel didn't do that. God did that. Now, if we know that these things, that if you, because you are sons of God, you had the Spirit of God, you could turn over to Galatians 5 and read what we have in the Spirit. In chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust. I skip meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you can hear, if you have faith, if you can believe, it's because you have faith. If you have faith, it's because you have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, it's because you're a child of God. It's not the opposite way around. See, the effect is not equal to cause. The cause equals the effects. Because you are sons, because you are daughters, my Father's little children, you have faith. Because you have faith, you can believe. John chapter 8, verse 47 says, "He that heareth God, he that is of God, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." If you hear God's word this morning, if this gospel means something to you, I want you to know you are already of God. You are already His child. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." It's not because the preacher got up here and preached the word of God to you that you became a child of God. If what I'm telling you means anything this morning, I want you to know you already had that peace. You already had that. You are already a child of God. And that happened before the foundation of the world, because this Bible tells me that you were chosen in Christ Jesus then, before the foundation of the world. And if you were chosen in before the foundation of the world, if you were formed in Jesus Christ before you were even born naturally, what did you have to do with that? Absolutely nothing. It's all of God between Him and His Son and in their covenant of faith and grace. That's how we become the child of God. It's not of blood. And a lot of times in this Bible, when they're talking about that, they're talking about the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew and the world. These Jews thought that they, by flesh, they were going to enter into the kingdom of God. But God came and set them straight. He says, "No, Nicodemus," when we're talking about Nicodemus. He's like, "It's not because you're a Jew. It's not because you're a Greek. It's because of you, but those that believe. And if you believe, you have faith. If you have faith, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, then you're a son of God." Now, if you understand those things, when it comes to some other verses, hold those into your heart. Because when somebody grabs one of these other verses out of context, then you'll know, nope. It's like, I don't know. You could say, I don't know what that means, but I know these things. So I know it can't mean that. If you will, turn with me, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read one of the verses that Brother Phil Robertson used to try to claim gospel regeneration. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start with verse 12. Verse 13. Now, this is the verse that Brother Phil tried to use. In verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, he tried to use that you have to hear the word of truth. You have to hear the gospel of your faith and salvation. And then after that, you believe, then you have the Spirit, then you have become the child of God. Well, that all depends. I guess that sounds good if you take that verse out of context and you just read that. That's what it sounds like. But the Lord told me to study, to show yourself approved. You know, the Bible sometimes is not always, if you don't have those fundamental bases, it's hard to understand sometimes. That's why you got to study the Word of God. And I encourage you to continue to study the Word of God. So when you take that out of context, I guess you could apply that way, but that's not how it's supposed to be applied. For a moment, I want to concentrate on that word sealed there in verse 13. It says, "In whom ye also trust that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, what does that word sealed mean? If you will, turn with me. We're going to go back to Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 8. And I encourage you to go back and read the book of Esther. The account given here, if you want to talk about God's ability to turn the weapons of our enemies against them, it's a good example.
there's an old man named Haman in this bird. They wanted to persecute and kill the children of God. He built a gallows in his court to hang one of the Lord's prophets, Mordecai, on. And God turned it around on him, and he was hung with the very gallows that he built to hang the prophet of God. So I encourage you to go back and read this verse. But in verse 7 of Esther chapter 8, verse 7, it says, then King Ahasuerus, I think that's how you say that, said unto Esther the queen, and Esther had become the queen through God's providence, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. I tell you what, when you mess with God's children, God's angry. God defends those that are his. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. See, back in these days, when the king made a proclamation, he put it there, and they put it, and they put wax on it, and they sealed it. Now, let me ask you something. Was that sealing of that proclamation for the benefit of the king? No. The king knew those were his words. Who was the benefit of the seal for? For those that the proclamation was intended for. That's what sealed means. See, the sealing doesn't have anything to do with what's contained in the document, in the proclamation. But it lets everyone know that these are the king's. This is the king's words. When you turn back over to Ephesians chapter 1, and you say, in whom ye also trusteth, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I want you to know, if you believe, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know these are not effects that you are a child of God. These aren't conditions of being a child of God, but these are proclamations that you are a child of God, and you've been sealed with His Spirit. You're one of His. You're one of the kings. These are one of the kings. You're one of the kings. If you believe, if you trust, if you have the Spirit, I want you to know those are not conditions to make you a child of God. Those are effects and symptoms of being a child of God. That proclaims to you and to this world, it assures you that you're one of His. Be thankful this morning. If this truth of this gospel means something to you, I say you're blessed, because I tell you what, there's children of God that are born again that never hear this gospel. I'm convinced of this morning. But if you can understand this gospel, I want you to know you're doubly blessed. Doesn't change the fact that you're a child of God or a son. But oh, it's a blessing. What does it do? It points to immortality. It points to life. It points to your salvation. It points to the very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who saved us. That's who called us. Not of man, not of the will of flesh, but of God. I thank you for your good oriented attention.